Hey everyone, ready to dive into some seriously practical advice on building better habits?
I'm in.
Today we're tackling Tiny Tweaks, the hilarious journey to unstoppable habits, this awesome book by Orion Windsor. It's got a quirky cast of characters and some surprisingly effective strategies.
I gotta say, I was immediately drawn to the way this book uses character archetypes. Like, it makes the information so much more relatable and memorable.
Totally. We've got Max Procrastinator, always struggling to meet those deadlines. Sound familiar to anyone? And then there's Lucy Listmaker, who lives for a good to-do list. Don't forget Bobby Breaker, starts strong but hits those plateaus hard. And of course, Susie Success, who seems to have it all figured out. I'm curious, though, which one resonates with you most?
Well, let's just say I have a feeling we might all have a little Max in us, especially when those deadlines start looming, right?
Okay, no judgment here. But tell me, why do you think this character-driven approach works so well when it comes to learning?
You know, it's surprisingly effective. When we see ourselves reflected in these characters, even if it's like a slightly exaggerated, hilarious reflection, right? It just makes the advice feel less intimidating, you know? More like a friend sharing tips instead of a lecture. Plus, our brains are wired for stories. We connect with characters, remember their struggles, their triumphs, and that's what makes the information stick.
Makes total sense. And speaking of sticking with things, one of the biggest takeaways for me from Tiny Tweaks was that you don't need a complete life overhaul to build better habits. It's those small, consistent changes, those tiny tweaks, that make a real difference over time.
Absolutely. In fact, the book dives into this concept of activation energy, basically. The initial effort it takes to start any activity. Tiny tweaks are brilliant because they lower that barrier to entry.
Oh, I like that. Lower the barrier. So instead of overwhelming yourself with a goal like, okay, I'm going to meditate for 30 minutes every day starting now, you start smaller, right?
Exactly. You start with something manageable, like one deep breath, one page of a book, one tiny action that sets a positive chain reaction in motion.
Okay, that's fascinating. So it's like tricking your brain into thinking, hey, this isn't so hard after all. Maybe I can do another one.
Exactly. And each small win releases dopamine, which reinforces the behavior, right? It's like a little reward system that motivates you to keep going. It's about building that sense of accomplishment, one tiny tweak at a time.
So it's not about becoming a meditation master overnight. It's about that single deep breath. I can get behind that. Now, the book also talks about making your habits obvious, even hilariously so, which I love. Like, remember Max, our resident procrastinator? He literally goes to great lengths to hide cookies from himself just to resist temptation.
Okay, I have to admit, that one made me chuckle because it's so relatable. But it perfectly illustrates this fundamental principle of behavioral psychology environmental design. It emphasizes how much our surroundings really influence our actions, often without us even realizing it.
It's so true. We've all been there staring into the depths of the fridge, like, come on, healthy snack, appear. So how can we make our environment work for us instead of against us when it comes to building these better habits?
That's where those tiny tweaks come in. Tiny tweaks offer some super practical strategies, like giving your fridge a healthy makeover out with a sugary drinks, in with those colorful fruits and veggies, right? Declutter your workspace so there are fewer distractions. Even set up this really calming nightstand situation to help promote better sleep.
I love those ideas. It's like you're subtly nudging yourself toward your goals without even realizing it.
Exactly. By making the desired habits obvious and accessible, you're basically rewiring your environment to support those aspirations, setting yourself up for success.
Okay, that's brilliant. But what about those times when we need a little extra motivation to stick with our habits, you know? What about those moments when those tiny tweaks aren't enough?
Well, that's where the power of rewards comes in, something this book dives into hilariously with Max's love for, let's say, video games.
Ah, yes, the classic reward dilemma. We've all been tempted to indulge a little too much after, you know, a productive spurt, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. But as the book points out, it's about finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, rewards need to be proportional to the task and something you can sustain in the long run.
It's like in that classic study, you know, where they gave kids either a small reward right away after they finished a puzzle, or they got a bigger reward, but they had to wait for it. Which group do you think stuck with those puzzles longer?
The ones with that instant gratification,
yeah,
right?
Just
classic.
Exactly.
It proves how our brains are hardwired to prioritize those immediate rewards instead of waiting for something down the line. Even if that something is bigger and better, it explains why, I don't know, just one more episode can easily turn into like a whole night of binge watching.
Ouch. I feel personally attacked. But on that note, I'm curious, what are some of the tips that the book gives for actually creating a reward system that actually works, one that doesn't turn into me, you know, rewarding myself with a vacation after a day of work.
Okay, well, one thing the book talks about is pairing a new habit with something you already enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you want to get into a good exercise routine, but you really just dread, I don't know, the treadmill. Listen to your favorite podcast or audiobook while you're working out. So you're turning something you might not be super excited about into something you can actually look forward to.
Ooh, I love that. It's like sneaking in those veggies with the mac and cheese for grownups.
Exactly.
Speaking of linking things together, the book also talks about habit stacking, this idea of, like, have you ever noticed how some actions just naturally flow into other ones?
Oh, absolutely. Like how that morning cup of coffee just leads right into scrolling through, like, all the news headlines. Our brains just love creating these little chains of behavior.
It's so true.
Like, the book uses the example of adding flossing to your routine, right? It's like you're already brushing your teeth, so might as well just tack on the flossing while you're there.
Which is brilliant because then you're not relying on just willpower alone, which, let's face it, willpower is not always the most reliable, is it?
No.
You're leveraging this already established habit, right? Like, it's a springboard into a new one.
Exactly. It's all about tapping into how our brains just naturally work, you know, following those routines. By linking a new behavior to one you've already got down, you're basically creating this clear cue for yourself and minimizing how much mental effort it takes. I mean, it's like you're hacking your own productivity, which I love.
Okay. That's seriously cool. And it kind of reminds me of how people talk about having a power hour, where they're like, okay, for this 1 hour, I am knocking out all of my most important tasks. My energy's high. Let's do this. But I want to switch gears a little bit here and talk about those times when, you know, you hit a wall. We've all been there, right? Those dreaded plateaus.
Absolutely.
We start off strong and then, boom, we're stuck. Right. Plateaus are totally normal, though, right? They're a normal part of any kind of growth journey. And I will say, this book does such a good job of normalizing that experience, especially with the character Bobby.
Oh, yeah. Bobby's the king of hitting those plateaus.
Right. Starts out strong, then hits that wall. But I'm curious, how do we actually navigate those plateaus without just, like, completely losing all momentum? Because the book does a really good job of emphasizing that, like, this isn't the end of the story. You hit a plateau doesn't mean you failed.
Right. It's about recognizing that it's temporary, you know, a dip in the road, not the end of the road.
Yeah.
One of the best things you can do, honestly, is just switch things up. Our brains crave novelty. So if you always go for a run first thing in the morning, maybe you try switching to an evening workout.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Even those little changes, those little tweaks can kind of reignite your motivation. But the book also talks about how important it is to set new goals. Mini goals, I guess you would call them, right?
So it's about constantly having something to strive for, even within the routine.
Yes, exactly. And we can't forget the power of rest and recovery. Honestly, we just push ourselves way too hard, right? Like, more is always better. When really, sometimes taking a step back actually helps you come back even stronger and more focused. It's like they say, rest is not idleness. It's the land of renewing.
Ooh, I love that. And that is so important because we do live in a culture that's like, go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. But sometimes you need to just be like, no, I'm going to take a break. Okay, so we've talked about the importance of starting small, making those habits obvious, right? Leveraging those rewards. We talked about hacking our brains with this idea of habit stacking. I want to know, though, is there anything else we can do? Anything else we can add to this habit-building toolkit of ours?
There is. And this is where things get really interesting, in my opinion. The book spends a lot of time on this idea called the habit loop. Have you ever wondered, like, why we do the things we do, even when we know they're not good for us? Like, logically, we get it, but we still do it anyway.
Oh, tell me you have the answer to this, because I have so many of those moments where I'm like, why am I doing this?
Well, this habit loop helps explain it. It's basically this three-part cycle. The cue, the routine, and the reward. So the cue is basically the trigger, whether that's a certain time of day, a place, even an emotion you're feeling. That's your brain basically signaling itself to initiate this behavior. Then you have the routine, which is the actual action, the thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reward is that positive reinforcement that basically just strengthens that habit even more.
Okay, so the cue kind of kicks off the whole cycle, like a domino effect. So let's say my cue is, I don't know, coming home from work feeling stressed. My routine is I head straight to the pantry and grab like a bag of chips. And then, of course, my reward is that like salty, crunchy, you know, comfort food.
Exactly. So the key to actually changing that habit, that whole cycle, is to figure out which part of the loop you actually need to adjust. Can you change the cue? Can you change the actual routine? Or maybe you can just swap out that reward at the end.
So in my little chip eating scenario here, maybe instead of coming home and going straight to the pantry, I come home and I go straight for like a relaxing bath. So same cue, but we're changing the routine.
Exactly. Or you could keep the cue and the routine the same, but just swap out the chips for something else. Like what if instead of chips, you reach for, I don't know, carrots and hummus, something that still gives you that nice crunch, but it's a little bit healthier.
Okay, that's brilliant. So it's about becoming aware of those automatic patterns, those habits that we have, and then finding maybe a healthier way to like satisfy that need that's driving the habit in the first place.
Yes, exactly. And the book has so many great examples of how to apply this habit loop strategy to all sorts of situations.
I can see why this is such a game changer. It's not about like white knuckling your way through it with willpower. It's about actually understanding the mechanics of how our habits work, and then you can kind of outsmart them a little bit.
Yes, I love that. Outsmart them.
Now, I do want to ask you about something else the book talks about, these things called keystone habits. What are those and why are they so important?
Keystone habits are fascinating. They're these foundational habits, and they create this like ripple effect, triggering all these positive changes in other areas of your life.
Okay, that sounds powerful. Can you give me an example?
Absolutely. One that a lot of people talk about is exercise. So not only does it obviously help you physically, but can give you more energy. You might find that you're sleeping better, your focus is sharper, you're even less stressed. So many benefits from that one habit.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like that domino effect, like knocking down all these other obstacles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the best part is, once you figure out what your keystone habit is, it can really be a game changer. It's about finding the one that's going to make the biggest impact for you.
Okay, so how do we figure out what our own personal keystone habit is? Is it like, I don't know, a superpower we all have to discover?
In a way. The book talks about experimenting a little, seeing how different habits affect other areas of your life. Like, if you start doing this one thing, does it make you more productive, more mindful, more energized? Does it lead to other good things, even if you weren't trying to make those happen?
It's like the self-discovery process. Like, what is that one thing for me that unlocks all these other positive changes?
Exactly. And then, once you've found it, you nurture it, you prioritize it, and you just watch those positive changes unfold.
This is amazing. It's like we're not just building better habits. We're uncovering this whole like hidden potential and creating this domino effect of positive change.
That's a great way to put it. And speaking of unlocking potential, the book also gets into how our habits and our identity are connected. It's like our habits are a reflection of who we believe we are.
Whoa, our habits reflect our identity. That's a powerful concept. So it's not just about what we do, but like who we believe we are at our core.
Exactly. Think about it. If you see yourself as someone who is, I don't know, disorganized, kind of chaotic, well, chances are your habits are going to reflect that. But if you make a conscious effort to cultivate this identity of being structured and efficient,
yeah.
Well, your habits are naturally going to start shifting to line up with that vision you have of yourself.
So if I tell myself I'm the kind of person who works out consistently, I'm more likely to actually get up and do it.
Exactly. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. You're shaping your identity and then your habits follow suit. It's a subtle mindset shift, but it can make a huge difference.
Okay, that's a game changer. So we've got all these amazing tools now. We've got these tiny tweaks, this idea of habit stacking, understanding that habit loop. We have talked about aligning our habits with our identity. But what about those days, you know, when our motivation just kind of goes out the window or we just hit a wall and we don't know what to do? What does the book say about dealing with those inevitable bumps in the road when it comes to building these habits?
You know, one of the things the book really emphasizes is that relying on willpower alone can actually backfire.
Oh, tell me about it. Willpower is not always there when you need it.
Willpower is like a muscle, you know?
Yeah.
If you keep pushing it, it gets tired. That's why the book really focuses on building systems so it's not you versus your willpower every day. You're creating an environment that actually helps you stay on track.
Yeah. So instead of relying on my willpower to not eat like all the donuts in the afternoon, I set up a system for myself where I've got a healthier snack. It's prepped and ready to go, so I don't even have to think about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or let's say you're trying to read more. Maybe you set aside a specific time. You create this cozy little reading nook. It's about taking the decision-making out of it. Make the healthy choice the easy choice.
Yes. It's like that saying, if you want to be more disciplined, don't go to the grocery store hungry.
Mm.
Set yourself up for success. Now, one thing I love about Tiny Tweaks is it's all about progress, not perfection. It even talks about something called the 1% rule. What is that all about?
Okay, the 1% rule is great because it's so simple. Basically, it's this idea that if you're just 1% better today than you were yesterday, those small changes, when you do them consistently, they really add up over time. So it's not about some massive overnight transformation. It's about those tiny tweaks and trusting that they're making a difference.
I love that. It takes the pressure off, right? You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be a little bit better than yesterday.
Exactly.
But let's be real. There are going to be times when we slip up. It happens. So what about those moments when we stumble? Or, you know, maybe even fall flat on our faces when it comes to our habits?
The book makes a really good point about this. It says that those setbacks, they aren't failures. They're opportunities to learn and grow.
Mm.
It's about building up that resilience, being able to bounce back from challenges and keep going.
So it's like those inspirational posters say, fall down 7 times, get up 8.
Yes, exactly. And one of the most powerful tools for building that resilience is something I think everyone can benefit from. Visualization.
Visualization. I've heard so much about this. Tell me more.
It's basically mental rehearsal. So you're creating this vivid picture in your mind of yourself achieving your goal. Really imagine yourself going through all the motions. What does it feel like to be successful? And the cool thing is, our brains, they have a hard time telling the difference between what's real and what we've vividly imagined. So you're basically training your brain for success.
Wow. So if I'm visualizing myself, I don't know, giving an amazing presentation or finally running that marathon, I'm actually prepping my brain to make it happen.
Exactly. And the more details you can add, the more vivid you make that visualization, the more powerful it's going to be. What do you see? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? Even what are you smelling? Engage all the senses.
Okay, so it's not just daydreaming. It's like creating a full-on sensory experience in your mind. This is incredible.
And the best part is, it's a tool anyone can use anytime, anywhere. But as powerful as visualization is, the book also stresses that building lasting habits means taking time to reflect and adjust along the way.
Which makes sense, right? We're constantly changing and evolving as people, so our habits need to evolve too.
Exactly. It's a process. You have to check in with yourself, see what's working, what's not working. Building these habits, it's a journey. It's not about getting to a destination.
This has been so insightful. Thank you so much for taking this deep dive with me into tiny tweaks. And to everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed this conversation about building better habits one tiny tweak at a time. Remember, small changes can lead to extraordinary results. So what's that one tiny tweak you're going to start with today?